Let's read God's word together. Our first reading this morning is Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Found on page 595 of the Pew Bibles. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon your shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen.
We read again in the scriptures of the New Testament in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 2 at verse 12. John chapter 2 at verse 12, and this is page 1065 in the Pew Bible. John 2 verse 12. After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to grasp his eternal truth. Now let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks that we have a shepherd who walks with us through every circumstance of our lives. And we pray that wherever we find ourselves this morning, in our minds, in our hearts, that we would know his voice deep within us, meeting the need of the hour and making us more fit to reflect his being to our community, to the nation, and to the world. We ask it for his sake. Amen. Friends, I know that many of us this morning will remember with great fondness the ministry of the Reverend Emily Campbell, who was the assistant minister here for some years. Emily brought many blessings to this congregation and to me personally. One of the things which I will always be grateful for is that she introduced me to the writings of an American spiritual writer called Frederick Buechner. And not long after my mother died, Emily sent me a book which was written by Frederick Buechner. It was called The Longing for Home. The Longing for Home, which was a considerable help and encouragement to me at that particular time. And in this book, Frederick Buechner explores this longing that we all have deep within us to be in a place where we are accepted, a place where we are secure, a place where we are at peace. And Buechner comes to the conclusion that ultimately this doesn't depend upon us being in a particular house. It doesn't depend upon us being in a certain country. It might not even depend upon us being surrounded by particular people, because we can have all of this. We can have all of this and more, and still have this deep longing within ourselves for something more that will satisfy us at a deep level. It's something like homesickness, something that is drawing our inner being towards a place where there is deeper satisfaction. And I believe that it's this longing for a home, a place where we will find ultimate satisfaction for our souls. It's this longing that we find at the very center of Psalm 84, which was read for us earlier in the service. Yes, in this psalm we see a longing to be in a particular city. We see a longing to be in a particular building. But in the end, it's what this city and this building symbolize which is so important to the psalmist. Because the city is a microcosm of the people of God on this earth. And in the midst of this city of Jerusalem, there is the temple, which is the symbol of God's presence, his eternal presence, in the midst of his people. And that is where the psalmist's deepest longing lies. Not just to be in this city, not just to see the magnificence of the temple, but he has this great longing to be with his God, to experience his God deep within his life, and to live his life according to the ways of his God. We see this in the heartfelt cry that he makes to his God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now that's not just a cry to be in a particular place along with particular people. This is a deep longing for this person to be in his God and to experience this satisfaction that only he can give at the deepest level of his life. There doesn't seem to be any doubt that this is a psalm which would be sung on pilgrimage. When the pilgrim is journeying towards Jerusalem, probably to celebrate the Passover. And in his mind's eye, he sees the courts of the temple, which would be open to the skies, and the birds would be flying around the courts of the temple, and some of them would even be making their nests near the altar. And he is longing within himself, if only I could be like these birds at this particular point in time, at home in the temple. But this is just really the surface feeling, because what he needs deep down is a sense of his God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He wants to be closer to his God. He wants to find a dwelling in his God. He wants to be secure within his God. And isn't that something that we can all identify with, friends? Surely. And it's a great blessing for all of us that there's no need for us to go on pilgrimage in order to experience this deep satisfaction for our souls. Because hundreds of years after this psalm was written, someone stood in the temple courts and declared this place to be his father's house. And after he had cleared the temple of all the rubbish, which was an obstacle to people experiencing God, people challenged him as to what his authority was in doing something like this. And his response was, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." An enigmatic saying which only gained its true weight after he had risen from the dead, because at that point he was making it clear that the temple now didn't have a role to assure people of God's presence with them. The temple didn't have a role now to assure people of God's forgiveness. He was the temple. And those who came to him and closed with him and had a living relationship with him would experience the forgiveness of sins and God's presence with them in all their days. We don't need pilgrimage. All our hope is in Jesus and our awareness of him as our Savior and our Lord. The psalmist says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." We say, "Blessed are those who are in Jesus Christ." He has said that those who trust in him now have passed from death to life. Even now there is a sparkle of his Holy Spirit in our lives to satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. And that also comes out to some extent in the psalm. Because even as he travels towards Jerusalem with this great hunger to know his God, he experiences the presence of God with him. This man who is journeying towards Jerusalem. He says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools." Even as he travels with this great purpose in his mind to close with his God, he experiences the presence of God with him. It's a bit like the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And he's thinking about what is the greatest need of his soul at that particular point. And he doesn't say, "I want to be free, I want to be out of this jail." He says, "I want to know Christ." And you think to yourself, "Well, come on, Paul, you know Christ." And he says, "I want to know more of Christ." And that is the attitude of the psalmist as he journeys towards Jerusalem. He aspires to know more of his God, but God is with him on this journey. And God is giving him all the strength that he needs for pilgrimage. And God has also placed in his heart the ability to turn the most desolate and hopeless place into a place that sparkles with hope. A place where there is spiritual reality in the midst of darkness and in the midst of suffering. We're told about this Valley of Baca. And nobody really knows where this Valley of Baca is, but the word Baca is pretty close to the Hebrew word for weeping. So it could be any place where there is darkness. It could be any place where there is pain. It could be any place where there is hopelessness. But journeying with his God, the psalmist can turn even this most desolate place into a place of springs. A place where there is hope and renewal. I remember years ago hearing a story about Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch woman who was imprisoned in a concentration camp during the war because she and her family were hiding Jews in Holland. And she was in a particular hut along with her sister Betsy in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And it was so infested by vermin that the guards didn't want to go there very often. But Corrie and Betsy found that this was actually a blessing, because they had more time to pray together. They had more time to bear witness to the hope that Jesus could bring to these suffering souls within their hut. The Valley of Baca had been transformed into a place of springs. And that is the power of God with us, friends. And with this mindset, with this particular image before us in our journey of faith, we can be a people who are able to transform till we appear in Zion. Remember what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says about how Christian people are called to run the race which is before them, keeping their eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, who will provide all the encouragement and the strength that is needed for the effort of discipleship. It's with this mindset, friends, that we have to go forward with this great vision that no matter how deep the darkness, how intense the pain in the Valley of Baca, it can be transformed into a place of springs. And that's why we have to move now to the image of the temple. As the people of God in this generation, Jesus as the temple in his time, and his people now as his temple. The physical presence of God in the midst of the world, and not just a static presence, but a dynamic presence. A people who can bring hope to even the most hopeless of circumstances. I remember once being deeply moved when I was visiting a lady who was coming to the final challenge. She was on her last days. And she said to me, "I love it when you come to see me because you bring me hope." Now that's got nothing to do with me. What it has to do with is the power of those promises that have been given to people who are traveling through the Valley of Baca. A people who can transform the deepest darkness, the most intense pain, the most hopeless of circumstances, and make it into a place of springs. And the psalmist's perspective on this is not restricted just to dealing with individuals. Because verses 8 and 9 lift us out of our own, if you like, self-centeredness in our spirituality and focus us upon those who are anointed to serve in the highest places of power and decision. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. He has the king in view there. And God is one who can enter into those places where decisions are made which can affect the lives of millions of people and turn that around. Do you believe that this morning? I confess to you, friends, that for a long, long time I would say that I believed it. But did I really believe it in the depths of my being? That our God has the power to turn whole nations around. Never mind bring revival to the church. But this is a God who is worshipped by the psalmist as he journeys towards Jerusalem, and this deep satisfaction he set his heart on. God is with him now as a transforming power in his life and also in the life of the nation. He cries to God. He has a sense of God with him in the moment. And ultimately, he knows he will find his satisfaction in his God. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. This is his whole aspiration. As he longs to close with his God, this is the contentment that he longs for. This is the sense of home that he longs for, where everything that is essential for his being is provided. And again, we can bring Paul in here because in that same experience in prison, and he's writing to the Christians in Philippi, he says to them, I have found the secret of being content in every circumstance. Whether rich or poor, whether hungry or well fed. I know the secret of being content. And what Paul is talking about there are the things that nothing, no difficult experience could ever take away from him. I mean, this is a man who has been through torture, as well as imprisonment, as well as rejection from his own people. And he's talking about being content. It's because none of that, none of those Valley of Baca experiences could ever take away from Paul the fact that he was a forgiven sinner. And that he had the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. And that even when he faced the final challenge of death, he had the hope of eternal life. That was the source of his contentment. He knew that great cry that comes from one of my favorite hymns, Tersteegen's hymn, which says, my heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till it find rest in thee. Paul knew that rest. And it was his strength and his courage. And we need to be reminded of those things, friends, because it is possible, especially in these difficult days for the church. It is possible for us to look at the lives of other people who seem to be so content and seem to be so happy and seem to be so fulfilled. And we begin to wonder, well, what is this Christianity business? What kind of difference does it actually make in our lives? would be just as happy without it. Perhaps we would have fewer burdens, less things to worry about if we were like others. But friends, we can only grasp. It's important for us to grasp the lesson that only God can satisfy the deepest longings of our lives. And that sometimes contentment and sometimes satisfaction and sometimes happiness is only a surface thing. Our God goes to the depths and brings us a satisfaction that nothing and no one ever can. I was really quite moved on the radio during the week to hear the author, Julian Barnes, talking. And he was saying, I don't believe in God, but I miss him. I don't believe in God, but I miss him. This successful, intelligent, engaging man. But he recognizes this part of his being which isn't being satisfied. And that's why the psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. No matter how affluent they are, no matter how happy they seem to be, no matter if they're given the impression that they've got it all worked out, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Remember that story we read? Sorry, we didn't read it. This is what happens when you get to the age of 35. It was John chapter 2 we read this morning. But remember the story of the woman at the well. Jesus, thirsting, he needs water. And he engages in conversation with this woman who, quite frankly, is a moral and spiritual shipwreck. A woman who has deep longings in her life which need to be satisfied. And Jesus points to the water in the well and says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. There's nothing that the world offers to us which will not leave us with this burning thirst for the reality of God. But he goes on to say, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. With the Holy Spirit in your life, you have this stream of living water, which will not only bubble up within you, but reach out in a transforming way to the world. There is nowhere else to go than to the Savior who sat at the well on that day. Nowhere else to go for forgiveness. Nowhere else to go for a purpose that will satisfy our lives. And nowhere else for a sense of security when we face the final challenge of death. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. No good thing will he withhold. It's not that we need to be perfect to experience the good things, but to have this aspiration to walk in the ways of God. No good thing will he withhold from us. And finally, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Trusts in you to fulfill the deep longings of my soul, and to know that in the end there is no home except that which is provided for us by our Heavenly Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you, said Jesus. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Let's keep the faith as we journey towards that ultimate satisfaction in God. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Spirit, you would enable us to know everything that will keep us aware of your presence with us, your good purpose in our lives, and the love from which no dark and difficult circumstance can ever separate us. We ask that these good things would settle deep in our souls for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen.